I'm John Carter in Moscow, in Havana, Cuba. Now in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine.
I'm John Carter in Petra,
right here in communist China,
reporting from India.
Hi, I'm John Carter in the Solomon Islands.
I'm John Carter in Soweto,
from El Salvador.
I'm John Carter in Sydney, Australia.
Welcome back, my friend. You're tuned to the Carter Report. And the Carter Report today is coming to you from Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, where we are visiting and looking around. And I'm going to say this to the audience right now. I said it a little while ago, but I'm going to say it again because I think we've probably got some new people who've joined us. I was born in a little town about 50 or 60 miles from where I'm standing right now. And I'm standing right in Brisbane. I was born in this little town by the name of Esk, E-S-K. Just a tiny little place. I drove through it a number of years ago. And I tell you, if I'd blinked, if I'd gone like this, I would have missed it. No offense meant to the Eskites. And then after that, my parents moved to a place called Somerset, where my father helped to build the Somerset Dam. And then my family moved down here to Brisbane. My folks had gone through the Great Depression. My folks, well, they didn't have any money. We didn't have a house to come to. So my folks arrived here in Brisbane, but my mother had something that other people didn't, a lot of people didn't have. My mother had faith in God. And she walked the mean streets of the city of Brisbane and went to a suburb by the name of Bulimba, and walked up Key Street next to the river, and went to 34 Key Street and met an old man, had this big old house. He said, if you let me keep a room, you can come and live in my house. And that's where I was brought up, living right next to the Brisbane River. I thought I was in poverty. I was living in paradise. I had a canoe, I had a raft. My raft was tied to the shore with a big piece of rope. My mother thought I'd drift out to sea. And so today I'm talking to you from my old town that I haven't visited for many, many years, the city of Brisbane, the home of the Olympic Games after Los Angeles. So let me say hello to my friends in Los Angeles today too. My friends across the United States of America and also here in Australia. We're talking today about the three prodigals. Now, we noticed in the first part of the talk that the word prodigal means extravagant, abundant, over and beyond. The Pharisees, of course, were prodigals too, because they were so extravagant in their meanness and their Pharisaism and their self-righteousness. But we're talking here about the prodigal boy. We noticed in the first part of our talk today, when I started back in the first section of the Carter Report today, we were talking about this boy who runs away from his father. And this boy runs away from his father. Don't have too much sympathy for this boy, I'm telling you, because he's not such a wonderful boy, because he says to his father, give me my share of the estate. Could you believe it? He's a boy who comes to his dear old father and he says, Father, I can't wait until you die. Give me, and give me now. He just had the love of money in his soul and he was a prodigal sinner. He runs away from his father's house and it's not so good, is it? It's not so good when you and I run away from God. We're soon going to discover, my friend, it's not so good. It can be pretty cold out there. It can be pretty lonely out there. And this boy spends all of his money, his father's money. Spends all his father's money, the Bible says, on riotous living, on the living of a prodigal. He's extravagant. He spends it. The Bible tells us soon that this foolish young man soon comes to the place where he hasn't got a brass razu in his pocket. He hasn't got a dollar. He hasn't got a peso. He hasn't got a ruble. He's got nothing except his shame and the bitterness of remorse. The bitterness of remorse. And when he's completely down and out, you can't get much lower than this boy. He's a Jewish boy. And the Jewish people believe that pigs are unclean. That's in Leviticus chapter 11. And it talks about pigs as unclean. And he meets some man who says, "Well, boy, you're pretty dirty and smelly, but I'll give you a job. You can go and feed my pigs. But you can't eat any of the pig food because you're not good enough to eat the pig food." Can you believe it? Can you believe it? So he's out there. He's smelling to high heaven. This Jewish, pious boy who'd been taught to keep the Sabbath and to keep the ceremonial laws and the Levitical laws and the great laws of God, good laws. And he's feeding the pigs. He's got to get down in the mire and the mud and the filth to feed the stinking pigs. And soon he's like a pig, he stinks himself. Of whom does the prodigal boy represent? Of whom? Of what group of people? The human race that has run away from God. Human race has run away from God. Look at the world today. It's become like a filthy pigsty. And people are wallowing in the mire. And they stink of the mire. And they stink of the pigs. Yet most of them don't realize how dire is their condition, because they are prodigals. Prodigal, extravagant, abundant, over and beyond, prodigal in their sinfulness, in their extravagance, in their rebellion against God. Let's look at this text again, because it gives to every one of us a ray of hope. And if you feel today you're down in the big pen, this is a text for you. Verse 16, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. No one gave him anything. No friends left. You always have friends if you've got tons of money. No, you won't have friends at all. You'll have people who are taking advantage of you. Now, verse 17 says, when he came to his senses, the King James Version says it better, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. He came to himself. He came to his senses. What are we talking about here? We are talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't come to ourselves unless the Holy Spirit comes to us. I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel to millions of people around the world. I want you to know we are all prodigals. But some of us come to ourselves, some of us come to our senses because we listen to the still, small voice of the Spirit of God. I ask you, my brother, my sister, have you come to yourself? Have you heard the voice of the Spirit of God saying, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. And so in some way that we cannot understand, But we can see the Spirit of God comes from a loving father and speaks to the heart of this prodigal boy, and this boy comes to himself. He has what is called an awakening. Remember this word, an awakening. Have you had the awakening? The awakening. I will come to myself. I'm a prodigal. Here I am starving to death. Outside of God, we're all starving to death. Starving to death when there's a banquet in the Father's house. But our stupidity and our pride stops us. How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? Here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. You know what you call that? That's repentance. There's no salvation without repentance. Cheap grace is actually disgrace. No salvation without repentance. I've sinned against heaven and against you. When we sin against each other, we sin against heaven also. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. Thank God for mercy. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. So the first prodigal is the boy who runs away. That's all of us. Now we come, my friend, wait for it. The second prodigal. You say, there's no such thing as, no such person as a second prodigal. Yes, there is. Listen. We shall talk about now the second prodigal. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Why? Because he was looking down the road, longing for him to come home. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. He didn't kick him. He didn't say, you waster. He said, welcome home. And he kissed him. And of course, this makes the father the second prodigal. What? Well, the father is extravagant. He's full of grace. He is full of mercy. He is prodigious in his giving. A prodigal goes over and beyond. He's extravagant. So is the father. The father is the second prodigal, but in a nicer way. And who is this father? This old man, this ancient of days. This is God. This is what God is like. God doesn't hate you. God loves you. God won't kick you. He will kiss you. What is this called? A heresy? No, it's called the gospel. That's why the Pharisees couldn't get it, because they were so full of their prodigious sin of self-righteousness. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. Verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He's going to say, make me one of your hired hands, but he can't get the words out. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And so here is the boy, the sinner. You say, well, I'm not a sinner. Yes, you are. You just don't know it. We are all sinners. Somebody's like, no. You're talking to the wrong people. Go out and talk to the prostitutes and the harlots and all the drunkards. And No. The Bible says we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Go and read Romans chapter 3. There is none righteous, no, not one. But what is this old Ancient of Days, this old man who's been looking down the road, looking for his son? This is God. What does the Father do? What does God do? He doesn't say, you know, you stink, I'm not going to have you here. He says, let's get a robe, and I'll put the robe around him. We can't see his filth anymore. He says, let's get some shoes, put them on his feet. Let's put a ring on his finger, and let's have a party and celebrate. You know what the gospel means? Good news. Not good advice. There's no good advice here. God doesn't say, now just sit down, I'm going to give you a lecture. He says, I'm going to take you into my heart. I'm going to take you into my home. I'm going to cover you with my robe of my righteousness. You are my son, and I have you home again. So who's the second prodigal? Have you got it worked out? The second prodigal, of course, is God. He gives him a robe, a ring, and a party. That's something that the narrow-minded Pharisees just couldn't get, and they couldn't stomach it. They couldn't stomach it. Here is Jesus, and he's mixing with these sinners. They're the riffraff, and they're dressed up in their pious robes. But what happened? Well, the riffraff became the church. No, you say, not true. Well, try reading your Bible. The common people heard him gladly. What did the Pharisees do? Most of them, they rejected him and they hung him on the cross. Self-righteousness can lead people to do the worst of sins, like murdering the Son of God and nailing him up to a cross. So we need to look into our hearts and see whether we represent God or we represent the people who murdered God. Are you getting what I'm saying here today? And I'm reading this from the words of Jesus. That's why the Bible says when these sinners came to listen to Jesus, they heard him gladly, and the Pharisees got enraged and they said, this man receives sinners. And so Jesus tells this story. He tells this story to show everybody that for once in their lives, the Pharisees got it right. Yes, he said, you poor, poor Pharisees, I want to receive you too. I want you to come into my house. I want you back in my heart. I love you. But you've got to realize I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you feel lost today, if you feel a long way from God, if you feel that you've messed up your life, if you feel that you can't go on, then my friend, believe this. The Father has room in his heart and in his house for you. Can you believe this today? that this man receives sinners and goes to eat with them. This is what the gospel means. Many people think the gospel is good advice, that the way people are saved is by being told, you got to do, you got to do and do, and when you do all the doing, you'll be good enough. No, it's not like that at all. We come when we're not good enough. We come when we're still sinners, and we come and we have a revelation, and we come to our own, and we come to our senses, and the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, and we come in repentance. And how does God receive us? He puts a robe around us. People say, that doesn't seem right. It is right because God does it. He puts a robe. That's the robe of his righteousness. He puts it around the sinner. That covers up all the filth. Then he puts a ring on his finger. That means the ring of sonship. And did you get that? Sonship. You're now my son again. And he puts some shoes on his feet. And he says, you got no shoes on there. Must be very hard for you to walk. Here are some shoes. So they're having a big party. But now we come to the third prodigal. Would you like to hear about the third prodigal? Here it comes. Listen. Verse 25. Meanwhile. Oh, that's an awful word. Meanwhile. There's always lots of meanwhiles. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. Oh. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Well, the elder son, who represents the Pharisees, should have rushed in and said, welcome home, boy. Welcome home, brother. Glad to see you. What does he do? He gets grouchy. The older brother became angry. Oh. So it's okay to get angry, is it? Oh, yes, it's okay to be angry if you're, if you're sort of perfect like I am. So the older brother gets angry and refused to go in. His father went out and pleaded with him. He answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. Oh, that's a giveaway. I've been slaving for you. And you never disobeyed your orders. Who are you kidding? Never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not my brother, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, well, I'm not so sure. This son of yours who's squandered the money with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. He's the third prodigal. He's extravagant in his meanness, in his self-righteousness, in his denunciation, in his self-righteous zeal, in his deception that he thinks he's right with God, when in fact, he's not. Does the father get mad with him? No. My son, the father said, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So the third prodigal, this is the elder brother, the Pharisee. The greatest prodigal of all, of course, is the father. It represents God. And the first prodigal is the sinner who ran away from the father's house. Was this boy ever saved? I mean, the third prodigal, we're not told. The Bible leaves it as an open issue because the door was still open for the Pharisee. So here is the summary. The first prodigal, the runaway boy. The second prodigal, the father. The third one was the elder brother. What is the message? What is the message in the story that Jesus gave in this chapter? There's mercy and there's grace and there's forgiveness and there's love for any person, however down and out he is. But God finds it almost impossible to save the self-righteous. But for the person who feels himself a sinner and comes in humiliation to the Father, the Father receives him with love and puts a robe around him and smothers his face with kisses. How good is God? How much he loves you. Therefore, I say to you, my friend, believe in the God who believes in you. The Father waits to take you home. Now, my beloved friend, I'd like to pray with you today. Would you pray with me? Would you bow your head? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing story of the great love of the Father. We thank you for the boy who came to himself and went home to the Father's house. We thank you for the dear old Father, the Ancient of Days, who was looking down the road, yearning for his boy, waiting for his boy. We thank you for the gospel story that the Father doesn't walk, but the Father runs, hugs the boy, kisses the boy, puts a robe around him, has a party for him, which is just what God will do for every one of us when we come in faith. And so today, our Father, sensing our need and confessing our sins, we come to you today and we thank you for all of your mercies and all of your blessings. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." The Carter Report team has therefore accepted the challenge of worldwide evangelism. Millions in Russia, Ukraine, the Philippines, Africa, India, Australia, the United States, and the Isles of the Sea have heard the good news of Christ as John Carter has proclaimed God's living word. You are invited to be a part of the Carter team by praying and by giving, and when God calls, by going. Write a note now to Pastor John Carter, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358, or to P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, NSW, 2260, Australia. Jesus said, "With God, all things are possible." For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.